Amen. Well, we're just going to share briefly around the word this morning. And our theme this year is Amazing Grace. And it's a good name to have, good dedication, a gracious God, and a theme of amazing grace. I want us to turn to the book of John in the Bible. If you want to turn there, it'll come up on the screen there. I want to have a look in John chapter 3. And I want to read down from verse 16. And we're going to read John 3:16 down to verse 21. There's a little bookmark you would have got there. It's got the verses in it. If you haven't got a Bible with you, you can follow there, or else follow the screen. I'm actually going to read a little bit more than is on the screen at the moment. You will see those. So let's read from John 3, verses 16 to 21. It says in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him," verse 18, "whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And this is the verdict, so this is the bottom line, and this is what we want to talk about. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple of things here this morning, but right from the very beginning, I just want to make it really clear about God's heart. Some people have a distorted picture of God. They see God as this angry old man sitting up there and just looking down and waiting for us to do something wrong. And as soon as we do something wrong, he's going to hit us, he's going to whop us, he's going to get us, and have a bad picture of really what God is like. But this tells us really what God is like. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." And it says there in verse 17, "He did not send his Son to condemn the world." So God is not the one up there waiting to get us. He's not the angry old man up there. But it says here that God is the lover and the giver. And that's the heart of God. It's really important we understand who God is. He is the lover. He is the giver. And he's not the condemner. He does not want to condemn us. His heart always is to love us. God is the lover and the giver. He's not the condemner. I just want us to understand that right at the beginning. Because if you don't know what God is like, you have trouble approaching God. You think, well, I have to go to the mean old man. You're not going to want to go there. He's not that. He is the loving God. As we're told around communion, the God who loves us. He is the lover and he is the giver. He's not trying to condemn us. He wants to give us life. He wants to give us hope. I just want us to do something now. We're going to do a little experiment this morning. Now, I know some of you kids are young people are on holidays, school holidays, don't want to do any science stuff, but we're going to do a little experiment now. So I just want everybody, hands up if you're everybody. That's everybody. If your hand is not up, you're a nobody. No, you're not a nobody. Everybody, that's it, we're everybody. Okay, so everybody, except for those that are walking at the moment, you may have a nasty accident. Everyone, let's just close our eyes for the moment. We're doing an experiment, so let's close our eyes. Okay, let's open them. Okay, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? Did you like that? Did you? Maybe you missed it. Let's do it again. Let's close our eyes. Okay, now this is called darkness. Have a look. What does it look like? Looks pretty dark, doesn't it? Now close your eyes. This is closed now. Okay. Have a look around with your eyes closed. It's pretty dark, isn't it? This is what darkness is like. And some people live like this all the time. They live in darkness. Blind people, this is their whole world. Keep them closed. And I've got mine. I can't see if you're peeking or not, but keep them closed. This is what it's like for a blind person living in darkness. And every day, every moment, whether the sun comes up or comes down, doesn't make any difference to them. It's just dark all of the time. But open your eyes. Some of you were cheating, you had your eyes open. There's a huge difference between darkness and light. And this Bible scripture that we passage that we talked about, it talks about darkness. Now, some people are blind, and they walk around in darkness, and I can't imagine what that would be like. I think that would be very hard, pretty terrible, actually, never to see the beauty and the wonder of the glory that's all around us in creation, and never to be able to appreciate that. I think that would be pretty sad. And some people are born blind, some people live like that all their whole lives. But there's a kind of darkness that it talks about here that people live in. And it's not so much a darkness of sight, but it's a darkness of the soul. And a lot of people live their whole lives in the darkness of the soul, and that's a pretty tragic place to be. It's said in John 3, 19 and 20, we just read it. It says this is the verdict. It says this is the bottom line. When the rubber hits the road, when it all's said and done, when it all matters, when everything is over, put aside everything else, the bottom line, this is it. This is the verdict, it says in verse 19 and 20, and it's up there. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. And we know Jesus is light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So the light, Jesus, has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. All those who do evil hate the light, and this is why. And they won't come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And so there is a light. There is an alternative. Your eyes are closed, your eyes are open. You can close your eyes and you can open your eyes. And I'll be grateful to God that you can actually see, that we can see things. It would be a tragedy for someone that is blind and can never see anything. But there's a choice here. So if you're born blind and you don't have a choice, but we have a choice whether our eyes are open or not here. But it talks about people that are living in darkness. It says there's a reason why that they're living in darkness. In fact, why do some people really struggle? Okay, if there's a contrast between dark and light, you have a look at our banner there, a theme, Amazing Grace, you'll see there that there's darkness on one side and there's light on the other, and that is actually symbolic. That little banner and that little river there is just symbolic of the cleansing of Jesus. He helps us cross over from one side to another. But the people that live in darkness, and when you talk about the light, well, why do some people freak about that? Why are they scared of that? Why is it such a in-the-face confrontation with the things of God? And it tells us why. It talks about a fear. And the dark life, living in the darkness, it's really a life that is full of fear. It's full of fear. There's either light or there's darkness. And it tells us that it's based on fear. The people that live in darkness, it's fear. And it tells us what the fear is about. It says that when we know the Lord, when we're living in light, but when we're in the dark, there's a fear that permeates our life. And that's just as tragic, as far as I'm concerned, as someone who just cannot see anything at all. I mean, I just can't imagine how hard that would be for people who cannot see anything. That would be really hard. But a lot of people live in the tragedy of the darkness of the soul. And the character of that here, it's telling us, is that it's fear. That the bottom line is, this is the verdict. There is a choice. There is an alternative. There's light or darkness. And for those that are in the light, it seems pretty painfully obvious. Why wouldn't you want to be able to see the beauty and the wonder? But when you're in the dark, well, you can't see the light. And so you don't even know what there is necessarily to be seen because you're in the dark. But there's a fear that keeps you in the dark, because it says there's a fear is the reason why that people don't even necessarily want to talk about the light or even think about the light, because they're caught in this place. And it's a fear, it says, there's a fear of that their deeds will be exposed. It's a fear of shame. And sometimes if you've got a wrong picture of God, you don't see him as the lover and the giver. You see him as this mean old judge up there. Then you're going to be scared of God. You think, well, if I go near God, I am a dead man. And there's this fear when we just see God in that way. And it's a fear that, yeah, well, God, gee whiz, you know, God, he'll know what I'm like. He'll know those things. And there's a sense of shame. And a lot of people live in shame. And as much as they can put on a good front, and yeah, there's this lingering shame that's upon them. And it talks about that, the fear of exposure. And that really is a shame. And the place of darkness is a place of shame. A lot of people who don't know the things of Jesus Christ in the dark place, there's a lingering shame over their life. Because people aren't stupid. We can, as much as we try to deny things, we know where we blow things. We know basically some good and bad. We know where we're doing something wrong or done something bad. And if we're living with it in the dark place, there's that sense of shame. But also there's that fear of failure as well. And failure is a crippling thing as well. Many people just live in failure. What if I don't make it? And maybe, you know, they just find it really hard to try because they're just scared of failing. And some people are like that. And that's such a dark place, a place of shame and a place of fear of failure, that is a dark place. It's probably worse than being blind or being born blind. And people live in that place. And some people just think, I try, you know, I heard about this light place, and And maybe it's good to be able to have your eyes open. And so they're just trying as hard as they can to see. But tell you what, if you're blind, you ain't going to see. It doesn't matter how hard you try to open your eyes. You know, there's something not connecting in terms of the whole system of vision. It's just not work. It doesn't matter how hard the blind person will try to see. They just can't see. It's still black. It's still dark. As much as they try, and some people try, and they, well, I've tried. You know, I really tried hard to open my eyes. I strained. I held my breath. You know, I went red in the face. I tried, but I just couldn't see. And so some people try and they just give up, and that, well, I'm just not going to make it. And so they give up, and that's a sad place. A lot of people live their life in a dark place. Maybe they can physically see, but there's a darkness that's in the soul. And it's a very sad place to be for people. My heart goes out to people who live in a dark place. Yeah, those that are physically can't see, but those that they just can't see the things of God, full of fear. It's a fearful place to be. And it says that's the bottom line. When all's said and done, the dark place is a place of fear, living your life in fear, fearful of what happens if I die. You know, some people do. They live in fear of death. You know, death is not a good thing for people to talk about. But bottom line is every one of us dies sometime. And people, if you're in a dark place, you think, well, what happens if I die? I really don't know. And I'd like to know. And I'd like to be confident when that happened. But when we're in a dark place, we just can't see that. The beauty of this passage is the Lord is saying, well, look, you don't have to be living in the dark place. Yeah, there's a verdict, there's a bottom line. There's darkness and there is light. That's the bottom line. That's when the rubber hits the road. This is where it all sits, when all is said and done. And it talks about that we can actually come out of the darkness. It says there in verse 21, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. That's John 3:21. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. And so if we are in darkness, if we're in fear, a sense of shame and maybe failure, and I'm just not going to be able to cut it, and I've tried to cut it, maybe trying to do it as hard as I try to open my eyes, I can't make them open. And it says that there is a way to come out of darkness, a dark place of the soul, to come out of that place and to come into the light place. There is actually a way for that to happen. And the scripture tells us, the Bible says, this is Jesus himself talking to us, he says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Uh-huh. So there is actually a way. If I have the fear in my heart and fear, shame, fear of exposure, all of these things in my life, there is actually a way that I can come out of the dark place and actually have my eyes open to see the wonders and beauty I never imagined that were possible. There is a way for me to get there. And the way to get there, it says in verse 21, it says, whoever lives by the truth comes in to the light. So living by the truth. So there is a way to have the eyes open that we can see. So, well, what does it mean then to live by the truth? Well, some people think, well, okay, well, here I am. I know I'm in darkness. I know that. I can feel the fear of my life. I feel the shame of my life. Yeah, the sense of failure. And man, I really don't know what's going to happen to me if I did die. All said and done, bottom line, if I was honest, I really am in that place. And it and says, so the way that I can get out of that place into eyes open, into the light, is to live by the truth. What does it mean to live by the truth? And this is where a lot of people fall over, and a lot of people just can't cut it, because they think living by the truth is saying, okay, well, there's a whole lot of stuff that I've got to do. God's got a whole lot of standards that I need to live up to. And if I can be a good enough person, and if I can do enough things, because, you know, the word's truth, and if I can be a good enough person, and I try really hard, and I can do good things, live a good life, try to be a nice person, not hurt anyone, try to be a really good person, and if I can do all of that, then maybe I can come into the light. Because a lot of people think that's what it means to live by the truth. But I tell you what, if that's our mindset of living by the truth, then we're going to find that we're in a lot of trouble. Because as much as someone is blind, born blind, as much as they say, I'm going to see now, I'm going to try to see, I'm going to even pretend I can see. Yeah, I can see. Whoa, I'm just in time. And some people are like that. They're striving really hard because they want to get out of the fear, want to get out of that place. And end up trying to do it themselves, and people get discouraged and people give up and they can't come out of the darkness. They can't come out of that place of fear into their heart. And when people are trying, you're trying with all you can to be a good person, to get there, to make sure you can get to heaven, to be a good person. That is a dark place. And you will fail. And there's a lot of people do. They think they just try by their own effort, trying to get into the light. Want to see, what sort of wonder everyone's talking about? How come they're so excited about the things of God? Well, how do I get there? Because I've tried being good, and it just doesn't work. And I've tried to do all the right things and say all the right stuff and be a good person, but it just isn't good enough. It doesn't cut it. But it talks about living by the truth. So what does it mean to live by the truth? Well, it tells us in verse 21. It says that whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that we may be seen plainly that what has been done through God. See, it's a God thing that gets us out of this place of fear and shame and just wondering what's going to happen to me, to move us from this place to that. It's something that God does. The scripture says that we see plainly, really obvious to everyone. You can't miss it. It's something that God has done. And we're never going to get to God by trying to be good enough. We're going to stumble around in darkness. We're going to fall flat on our face and we'll get discouraged and give up if we try to come into the things of God by just trying to be a good person, trying to make it to heaven, make it an eternity by being a good person. We're just not going to cut it. It's not going to work in that way. But as we talked about a communion, what does it mean to live by the truth? Living by the truth is not trying to follow a whole lot of stuff and doing a whole lot of things which you will not be able to reach. You just won't. But to live by the truth is to have the life of Jesus Christ, to know what he did for us on the cross. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." And so it's from God. It's a God thing, not our own effort, not trying to be a good person, trying to do all the right stuff, because you'll stumble around like a blind man and you fall flat on your face. But it's coming to this point of knowing that Jesus Christ has actually enabled me to live by the truth, because I can't live by the truth. Try to be a good person, well, it's not going to work. But to live by the truth means that we begin to understand, hang on a minute, I don't have to live my life in fear of feeling ashamed, fear of failing and all of those things, fear of death, all those things. In fact, I can actually come into the light where I can see a whole new world. And the way that I get there, it's through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It says it's a gift from God. So rather than being stumbling around and just trying to be a good person and just forget it, I can't do it in my own strength, it's actually telling us it's a gift from God. It's by his grace. Grace is the good that God does when we can't do anything. And when you're blind, you can try as hard as you can. Your eyes will not open. And so, you know, it's great to see what the Blind Mission International does. They go around giving sight to millions of people with cataracts and all sorts of operations and do fantastic job that they do in a physical sense. But God has done for us in a spiritual sense. It's a gift of God. And 1 John 1:6 and 7, it makes this very clear. We won't go much longer. But 1 John 1:6 and 7, let's just have a look at this. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, because a lot of people say, oh, I believe in God. Well, that's good, but believing in God does not actually get you over here. There's only one way to get there, and that's through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie, and do not live by the truth. So it's talking again, those words, living by the truth. But if we walk in his light, and he is the light, that's Jesus, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So to live by the truth is to know the blood of Jesus working in our life. It's not our own effort. And some people even may have given their heart to the Lord, but then they want to go back and live like they're in darkness, striving, trying, rather than relying on what God has done and letting it flow from what he has done. We fall back to us trying to do to get good enough to God or approval of God. That's not the way to live. It's a dark way to live. But if you walk in darkness, but we can walk in the light. And we do that through his grace. That's how we get there. Not through our own effort, because you can't open your own eyes. But Jesus Christ, he can open our eyes. He can bring light into the soul where nothing else can touch. Only his light can touch there. 1 John 4:19 is an interesting verse. It says, we love because he first loved us. And he loved us, so we love him. But some of us fall around in darkness because we think, well, if I do enough things for God and hopefully, you know, try to like him or maybe love him or whatever, try to do stuff, maybe then God will love me and God will bless me. Well, it doesn't work that way. The way it works is that God loves us. He demonstrated that. He proved that on the cross without a shadow of a doubt. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die in our place. So he said, bottom line, no mistakes, don't miss it, don't miss the point. Jesus died on the cross for our place, for our sin. Instead of God having to punish us for our sin, Jesus took the punishment. So God can just love us, and that's the heart of God. He just wants to love us. And we can love him because he loved us first. His love doesn't follow our love. He doesn't say, oh, you love me, then I'll love you. No, he loves us. And because he loves us, we're able to love him. His love comes first. And that's how we should live our lives. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, he called us out of darkness. He doesn't want us walking around in fear of shame, fear of failure, fear of death, or striving and struggling and just not. He says he actually called us out of this place, out of darkness, and he's actually called us into his wonderful light. What a wonderful thing that is. So the very thing that we couldn't do, a blind man can't open his eyes. And if we're in that darkness of the soul, and if we're honest with ourselves, and if we're in that place of shame and fear of failure and even fearing death and not even knowing, then the good news is today that Jesus has said, well, hang on, come out of that place. You don't have to be living in darkness. Come into the light, the wonderful light. And that's what God says for us. That's what this passage talks about. This is the verdict. Light has come. And Jesus has come. And so we all got that choice. And even if we know Jesus, we can start to live like we're in the darkness again if we're back into striving and struggling and trying. It flows out of what God has done. It's what Jesus has done. It's what he did upon the cross. God loved us first. It's out of us, for God so loved. It flows down to us, not us trying to get up there to God. It's not going to happen. It's from God's love flowing down to us, expressed through Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, this scripture blows me away. It says, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So when God created the earth, God, awesome creator God, just at one word says, bang, let there be light, boom. And there was light out of the darkness, out of the void. God speaks and then light comes. Just from a word, there is light. And the same God who created heaven and earth and said with the word, let there be light, he says over us, he speaks over us in our heart as we respond to him through what Jesus has done on the cross. He speaks to us the word and says, let there be light in our heart. And light comes on the inside. It's an inside thing. Being a Christian is not an outside thing. It's not trying to get down all the rules and things and trying to be good enough. You will be buried under that. It's an inside thing. Jesus put the light in our hearts. It's an inside out thing. It's what God has done. He's put his light within us, and then that light begins to shine out. Not a struggle. It's a gift from God. We've already read that before, to come in to know him. And I'm going to give you in a few minutes time, if you're here today and you're honest with yourself and you say, yeah, okay, look, if I was honest, I probably are in that dark place. Because I do have fear in my life. And I am fearful. Maybe there's a sense of shame in your life and just feeling unworthy or just not good enough or feeling such a failure or just worried about, well, what will happen? Because the bottom line is we're all going to die. And in the back of your mind, you try to bury it, you try to put it aside, but it just keeps, yeah, well, what happened if I did die? Where would I be? What would happen to me? But we can make that choice this morning. We can have our eyes open or our eyes closed. And it really is that simple. You can close your eyes as we all did before, and we can open the eyes. And it really is that simple. The things of God are that simple. Coming into the kingdom, coming into know Jesus Christ, which is what we mean about coming into the light, coming into the wonder and the things of God. This is a whole new world. A blind person If that's all they've ever known, they think this is the world. Well, it's a pretty dark place, pretty sad place. Actually, when you're blind, this is it. Well, man, you know, you can't see anything, and you think, well, okay, well, this is it, this is life. Well, not only when we come into the light, our eyes are open, and not only do we have fear done away with, the Bible says that love gets rid of fear. So fear is done away with. But when we come into the light and we come through Jesus Christ, we live by the truth. He is the truth. As we live by the truth, we come through Jesus Christ into the light, our eyes are open. Not only is there no fear anymore, not only do we have the promise of everlasting life, 100% secure. We die, we know what's happening to us. Not a worry, not a fear. We know where we're going because our eyes have been opened and we see into the glory of eternity in God. Wonderful thing. But not only that, Apostle Paul said, if it's only for this life that you're a Christian, well, he says that's pretty sad. But it's eternity. It's for that we're looking into. But not only that, is that when your eyes are open, you see a whole new world that you didn't know was there. You see your beauty and wonder. A blind person, saying you're standing in front of a tree. What's a tree? Well, it's this big brown wooden thing. It's what's brown? Well, okay, it's not quite as dark as black, but you know, it's got green. You know, how do you describe it? To someone who never knows what a color is, your eyes are open. You look at the beauty of the trees. When we're in Sri Lanka there, there's some magnificent trees in that place. You saw the tea growing up in the hills. And man, that is absolutely magnificent. It blows you away. You think, man, wow, it's just awesome to see such wonder and such beauty. And that's the difference for someone who comes to Jesus is well, this is my world. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. And then bang, we live by the truth and boom. And we say, man, and I thought I could see. I thought I knew what life was about. I thought I knew what it was. But now for the first time, I really see. I really get it. Over here, I couldn't understand it. In fact, I was scared of it because I was worried that, well, I sort of feel exposed. I feel shameful. I feel unworthy. You feel like, but once we come to Jesus Christ, we live by the truth. We come into the light and everything changes. Everything changes in the most powerful and wonderful way. So in the light over in this place, so there's no fear. There's nothing to hide. You don't have to hide anything. When we're in darkness, we're fearful of our things being exposed, things coming. When we're living in the light, we've got nothing to hide because God has worked in our lives. We don't have to strive. We don't have to try to please anyone, impress anyone, because the most important person in the world, in the universe, is God, and he is totally impressed by us. He looks at us and says, well, you are just brilliant. Doesn't see any fear and shame and sin because all that is dealt with Jesus as we live by the truth. And so we've got nothing to hide, no fear, no shame. It's a different place to be. And there's a purpose in life. You know, when you're blind, you're very limited in what you can do. There's only so many options that a blind person has. They know it's 10 steps to here and turn left, 5 steps to the bathroom and then, you know, 6 steps to here. There's a limitation on what you can do, with the places you can go, the things you can experience. You can experience a lot. A blind person, they can have a lot of great, you know, you can still stick them on the roller coaster and they can still, man, you got your eyes open, you're going down there. Now that is brilliant. That's living. That's great. You see the whole thing as you're going down. And but we have, when your eyes are open, when you come out into the light, you have new meaning, new purpose, new direction. The whole parameters, what we thought was the limited world, we suddenly see there's a whole world out there when we come. And not only that, we have the promise of eternal life. And that's my heart this morning as we read this wonderful passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then verse 19, the bottom line, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth, whoever comes to Jesus Christ and says, Lord, I'm not going to cut it. I'm not good enough. I can never make it to God. Lord, you're perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. I can never cut it. I can never do it. I can never make it. Well, that's fine. We come to that at recognition and say, but God, I come before you now and I want to accept what Jesus did in my place, that he died for me. The punishment that I should have got, he took all of that away. And Lord, and now I can stand before God with great confidence because of Jesus Christ. And so we can do that. We can have that. Come into the light by Jesus Christ. And so it says, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Because when you're over here, every Christian knows, well, we're not perfect. Everyone that's in the light has eyes open as such. We knew we're never going to make it. We're not stupid. We're same as everybody else. We're all in darkness. But something happened, and that's when we said, no, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for all the stuff that I've done. And I want to deal with the shame. I want to deal with the guilt. I want to deal with the failure, the sense of being worthless and just not even knowing where I'm going to end up. Lord Jesus, I want you to deal with that in my heart. And as we deal with that, we say, God, yes, Lord, I just want to accept that you gave Jesus for me. Lord Jesus, that you died in my place. And all of a sudden something happens, our eyes open. And what we lived in our own world and we thought, well, this is the world, we suddenly see there's a whole new world. And in a moment, we're just going to pray. And I'm just at the end of that prayer, I'm going to give people an opportunity. If you're here today, and bottom line is, if you're fearingly honest with yourself, you think, yeah, I feel like I'm in that darkness. And I know I'm there because there's fear in my life. I'm afraid of the future. You know what's going to happen? Petrol's going up. Everything's going up. The world seems to be going crazy. I'm fearful of the future. I'm fearful for my kids. I'm fearful. I have shame in my heart and my life. And whatever happens to me when I die, if you feel like that, and it's like a darkness in your soul in this day, it's my prayer that you open your eyes and that you'll see a whole new world that you did not imagine, that you'll see the things of God in a whole new way. It's just like a blind person. You stand a blind person on top of a mountain. Okay, bang, they're healed. They can now see. Take their breath away. So look out across the mountains and the valleys. Just imagine that. Well, that's what it's like when we come into the kingdom of God. When we give our life to Jesus, our eyes are open. And it takes your breath away. More than that, it takes everything away. And you end up with a fantastic life in God. So I'm going to pray now. So I'm going to get you to stand. But let me give an invitation. Stand up, you can stand up. If you feel that you've had a darkness in the soul and you really want the light to come on in your life, then I'm just going to give an invitation. We ask people to come and stand at the front and pray for them. If it's your first time to do something like that, you might feel this is pretty scary. Well, don't be scared about it. This is you saying, I'm actually here, but I'm going to cross over from darkness into light. I've been in darkness. I've been in fear. I've been in shame. I've been that, but I want to cross over into light. I want to know what happens to me when I die. I want to know that I've got a future. I want to know all of those things in my life. I want to see. I want to do that. If that's you today, when I give that invitation, just come forward and just see that for yourself. Okay, me walking out of my seat, it's like me crossing over from one side to another. And so I will invite you to come. It takes courage to come, and that's fine. If you don't want to do that, that's entirely up to you. But I want to give you that opportunity. I believe God wants to give people that opportunity today. Because his heart is not for people to be living in darkness. He doesn't want to see us in shame and in fear and just all the things that churn away and a darkness, a blackness of the soul. He wants to see us in light. He wants us to know hope. He wants us to know his love and his grace. So I'm just going to pray. If that's you today, I'm just going to give an invitation to come. So let's pray. Father, as we stand here today, Lord, we just thank you for your great love for us. So we just thank you, first of all, Father, Lord, you're the lover of our soul. Lord, that you love us, Lord, and that you came to love, Lord. You came to give. And Lord, that you haven't come, Lord, to condemn us, Lord, but you've come to give us life. And Father, I just pray, Lord, if there's anyone that is here today, Lord, the bottom line is when the rubber hits the road, Father, they know they're in the darkness of the soul. They're in the dark place. Lord, there's fear there. Fear of the future, Lord, or fear of shame, Lord, or failure, or just trying and just giving up, Father, just can't do it. Father, I pray if there's anyone that is here today, Lord, that they're really in that dark place. I just pray now, Lord, for them, Lord, that you just touch their heart. And Father, by your Spirit, Lord, you say, yeah, there is a way out. There's a way to have your eyes open, and that's to come to Jesus Christ, to live by the truth. And so, Father, I pray for anyone that is here like that today, Lord, that you just begin to open their eyes, Lord, they'll begin to see. And Father, give them the courage, Lord, to come and stand and say, yeah, look, I'm coming. I don't care about anyone else or anything else. I'm coming for me to stay. I'm coming because I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to come into the light. I've had enough of that, Lord. If there's someone like that today, I pray, Lord, that you just touch their heart this day. And Father, that I make their way. Lord, just give them the courage, Lord, just to make that step this day. So, Father, I pray that now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for anyone else, Lord, that knows you. That, Lord, they've even allowed their thinking to be clouded, Lord, and begin to be struggling and striving and instead of coming out of you loving us first, Lord, what you've done. Because we can only love because you loved us. Father, I pray that you help them even this day. So, Father, we ask that in Jesus' name.